Good morning, church family.
Good morning.
It is good to see each and every one of you here this morning. It is a blessing indeed to be here on Sabbath, to worship, to pray, and to help each other. You know, I've enjoyed in the last few weeks when my sister has come up with words in her pocket. It's been an education. And it's been a very meaningful message, and I appreciated that. So today I come before you with stones in my pocket. And we'll talk about that for a few moments. But, I have a stone here. And this one says self. I have another stone. Says discontentment. I think I have one more, maybe two. Yeah, this one says unforgiveness and judgmental. My friends, those are the stones that some of us carry around and cast. Do you believe those are the building blocks of a church? No, those aren't the building blocks of a church. In my other pocket, I have some other stones. In our guest bathroom in our house, there's a little bowl. In that bowl, there's a bunch of these stones. This one says peace. This one says serenity, joy, wisdom, courage. Let me ask the same questions. Are these the kind of stones that build a church?
Amen.
Absolutely. So I came to you today with stones in my pocket and with a burden on my heart. You know, we've said this before. Probably the most meaningful message from the front is one that the speaker is giving to himself. And that's certainly the case today. Would you turn with me to Ephesians 2, 19 and 22? Ephesians 2, 19 and 22. And would you bow your heads with me for just a moment? Father, my prayer today is that in every aspect of life, we will look at people through your eyes. We will embrace our brothers and sisters with your arms, and we will speak with your tongue that you might be glorified, is my prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's read this again, and then we're going to spend some time in Ephesians this morning. Consequently, you are no longer foreigners or aliens, but fellow citizens with God's people and members of God's household, built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the chief cornerstone. In him, the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in him, you too are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. Can you say amen to that? Stones are interesting things. They come in lots of sizes. Big ones, little ones, flat ones, round ones. And they're used for a multitude of purposes. I work in the mining industry. We make a lot of stones in what I do. We tear down entire stone mountains, make them into little rocks, and then we build huge mountains again, piling all those rocks back up. It's an interesting way to make a living. Working on the Conestoga, I have noticed many things about the old foundations and the old structures and the piles of rocks up on the Conestoga. You know, as fortunes and families have come and gone up on the Conestoga, so have structures and foundations and walls. What we see today are these scattered piles of stones And then occasionally we'll see a rock wall and part of a foundation left up there. You can't help but notice that the things that are still standing, the rock walls and the foundations that are still standing, are the ones that were carefully chosen, put together well, and then mortared together with a strong mortar. They stood the test of time. They were still there. Yeah, not in the beauty they were at one time, but something has held them together. Yeah, you can see where I'm going to go with this. Our text today says that we are all members of God's household. Sons and daughters of a living God, no longer foreigners and aliens, but fellow citizens with God's people. The text states that we are fellow citizens. What does it mean to be a citizen? That's right. To be a citizen, you have to be a member of a community, of a city, state, nation. You have to be part of something, don't you? You must be a resident. So what community, my brothers and sisters, are we citizens of? The kingdom of God. Amen? Did you hear what I just said? The kingdom of God. By God's grace, you and I are citizens of that kingdom. Verse 19 in Ephesians 2 starts with consequently. Consequently means it's the result of something. If we go back just one verse to verse 18, says this: through him we have access to the Father. Christ's sacrifice has made it possible to rejoin the family, to be reconnected to the Father. It doesn't matter what our ethnic origins are, what our nationalities are, what our color is. We are all citizens of God's kingdom. The truth is, we're all from the wrong side of the tracks. But the beauty is, there are no orphans in God's kingdom. Praise God. That is why, my friends, when you walk through the doors of this church, as a fellow believer, we should all be saying, hallelujah, it's a family reunion.
Amen.
We love you. God loves you. And we are all here to support each other. My friends, we are all spiritual stones built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets. That's what the scripture we just read. So what does that mean? The apostles and prophets were the early church builders and leaders. Their lives, their testimonies, their instructions, as written in Scripture, are what provide structure to our church today. They set the example, they told us how it works, and they told us how to love each other. No man or institution should presume to do anything other than what was taught by them and told through us through the scripture, with Christ as the ultimate example. The text emphasizes with Christ Jesus as the what? Chief cornerstone. The foundation of our faith begins and ends with Jesus as the base for everything else that we do. The apostles were privileged to spend personal, intimate time with Jesus. Man, wouldn't you have loved to have been there? He intended for them to be the core group that was to form and spread and develop his church. Carefully selected by Christ himself, then molded together by the Holy Spirit in its work, this foundation of the church was then and is now rock solid and eternity bound. Verse 21, I find powerful, full of promise, and the formula for success in every church. In him, the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. Do you see the blueprint that God has drawn here? Christ, His hand-picked and personally trained apostles form an unshakable foundation. Christ the Messiah, the Lamb of God, is the spiritual mortar that holds us together. We can't do it by ourselves. We can't succeed by ourselves. But with God, there is no limit to what we can do. In the context of this passage, the church, you and I are pictured as a structure, a building. Unified in purpose and focus, we are to be joined together. Do you ever feel disjointed? Sometimes a church can become disjointed. Satan would have us be fractured by dissent and arguing. He would have us be weak and unable to be the proper spiritual building because we succumb to our own agenda and our own desires, and we fail to keep our eyes on Christ. Rising to become a holy temple can only be interpreted as dynamic growth. I'm sorry, it's not sitting in the pew. Rising to become a holy temple. This church should be a shining place of hope and glory to the Almighty. The question is for me, are we or am I? Look at verse 22. This brings this passage to each one of us in this sanctuary this morning home. This is about us today. And in Him, you too are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by His Spirit. First and foremost, if the church, if you and I are not in Christ, if we are not each in submission to His will, we cannot be built together. It's like putting two opposing poles of a magnet. It's not going to happen. We are all in a different place in our walk with God. And I am thankful that the text recognizes that this is a process. We are being built together. We're not all at the same place. Thank goodness we have steadfast saints who are giving direction and guidance. Maturing Christians that are being impressed to step out in faith. New people coming on that can bring enthusiasm and vigor to our church. There's lots of variety. That's the strength of our church in Christ. The joy and beauty is God takes all who are willing and builds us into His dwelling place. Being built specifically identifies change and growth. It means getting out of our comfort zones and actively being part of the process. God did not say we should be ornaments in some beautiful temple. He says we should be active participants in the building process of His dwelling place. In preparing this message, I got a mental picture, a vision, if you will. And I don't mean to be flippant about this, but I had a vision of two pollsters standing outside the church. And at the end of the worship service, as we all went out, there were two pollsters out there. One was a human, one was an angel. The human pollster asked every individual as we walked out the door, "Is this a dwelling place in which God lives by His Spirit?" And the appropriate yes or no column was checked. The angelic pollster asked every guardian angel for every person as they exited, "Do you feel this place as a holy temple unto the Lord?" And again, the yes or no was checked on the sheet. That mental image faded. And I wasn't impressed that there were more yes or no's in either column. But I'll tell you what I was impressed with. I was impressed to ask myself, was there any thought, any comment, any action on my part in this church that would keep anyone from feeling like this is a holy temple of the Lord, or this is the place where His Spirit dwells? Friends, we are the building. We are the structure that represents Christ to the world and those who come to worship with us. What we do, what we say, how we act are a direct reflection on the Savior we claim to worship. If a welcoming spirit, a loving and accepting atmosphere, and a palpable sense of respect for God and for each other are not here, are we in fact making this a place where God's Spirit is felt by every person? How can it be the dwelling place of God if God isn't dwelling fully in the heart of every worshiper here this morning? So, the question is, am I on fire for Christ? Am I ready for Jesus to turn my world and the world around me completely upside down for His glory? Ask yourself that question. If you're like me, I like my rut. I'm comfortable in my rut. God says, get out of your rut. Get up. Embrace the good news of the gospel and turn the world upside down. Philippians 4:13 says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Yeah, Rick, but I'm just not good at that. Doesn't matter. God's good at it. Our scripture today says, in Him, you two are being built together, and in Him, the whole building is joined together. My friends, those aren't casual observations. Those aren't hints. Those are concrete promises. If we do what God asks us to do, and if we're open for Him to do what He wants to do in our lives, things won't be the same. It's happening right now. You two are being built. It's happening. The question is, are we a part of it, or are we casual observers? God is touching lives, changing hearts, convicting souls to serve Him, and He wants you and I to be on fire. You know, as I look behind me, I see two banners. This one says, see Him, know Him, show Him. And this one says, every member a minister. How long have they been up there? Long time. When we come into this sanctuary, my friends, do we look at those and pray, yes, Lord, let that happen in my life? Or do we say, yeah, that's an interesting concept. Sure hope it works for somebody. It has to work for you and for I before it works at all. God has said the harvest is ready, but what's lacking? Workers. Not observers. Workers. Yeah, but I'm too old. No, you're not. I'm sorry. I can tell you a lot of people in the Bible, and I know mature individuals who have rocked me to my knees by their spirituality. Praise God. By the same token, I have been humbled to tears by a 14-year-old who ask, hey, what's the deal? Why aren't you doing what God asked you to do? My friends, we have the opportunity, we have the obligation, and most importantly, we have the source for all the strength we need to do whatever it takes to turn the world upside down. You know what? If we don't live this, we can't do that. And God can accomplish all of that in every one of us if we're willing. There is healing, there is power, there is joy, there is peace, and there is faith in serving a risen Savior. We had a plea this morning about the nominating committee. And I'm going to close this morning revisiting that issue. When I look out over this congregation, I know that every person sitting in this room this morning can touch a heart for Christ. Every person sitting in this room this morning can serve and can be a minister and can further the cause. What's holding you back? I will tell you, this church needs you. I will tell you, the gospel needs you. And I will tell you from experience, you need it. As we serve, as we participate, as we work together, that mortar that is the Spirit of a living God draws us together, holds us together, and makes us stronger. Join us. Help this church. And let's be united in turning this world upside down. God will provide everything we need. The strength, the courage, the information. You all have a talent, and God has already found someone that you can touch in service to Him. Our text today says that we are being built to be what, my friends? The temple in which He lives. When people come through the door, they should feel, they should sense, they should see the living God in you and I, and how we treat each other and how we look at the world. Oh, my friends, there is so much we can do through God's grace, by His power, and to His glory. Let's do it. And let's celebrate. And when we struggle, let's come together. And when we see sadness, let's encourage. And when God does amazing things, let's celebrate together. As angels sing, bow your heads with me. Gracious Heavenly Father, the time is now. Your strength is unlimited. Your power knows no bounds. Father, touch every heart here today. There are hearts that are troubled. There are hearts that are worried. There are hearts that are sick. Touch them. Change them. Encourage them. And Father, let us be committed to being ministers. And let us remember and never forget that Your Son was willing to make the ultimate sacrifice that we might again be reunited with You and be again called members of the family. Thank You for that, Lord. And let it direct everything we do in our lives. is our prayer this morning. In Jesus' precious name, amen.